Thank you so much, Sister Rosie, for that special. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Judges, chapter 16. I don't know why this slipped my mind, probably like everything else here lately, but I forgot to mention this in praises. We thank you, thank the Lord for Sister Angie, who came forward last Sunday to join the church, and we're going to baptize Sister Angie Bauer next Sunday morning. So we look forward to that, and you continue to pray for her, and we praise the Lord for the great things He's doing here at El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church. Judges chapter 16, verses 1 through 21. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Begin reading verse 1, it says, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazite, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said to her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of a tow was broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind the prison house of a spray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach you, light in my heart. May your Holy Spirit continue to have free reign in our service. And ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon today is entitled, The Times of the Judges, Samson and Delilah. We are almost done with the story of Samson. The story today is probably the most well-known stories from the Bible dealing with Samson. When someone hears the phrase Samson and Delilah, they think about this story right here. Now, this is one of those stories I told you that from the beginning of our series, the book of Judges, this is going to be both one of victory and tragedy in the life of Samson. My first point this morning, Samson's strength shown, verses 1 through 3. Samson's strength shown. In verse 1, Samson was now in one of the main cities of Philistia. Gaza, as it says, is where he was. Gaza was part of the Pentapolis. He said, the what? The Pentapolis. Now, the word Pentapolis means five cities. There were actually five cities that were the equal capitals of Philistia. It was Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, and Gath. All those were equal capitals of the empire, the society, the country of Philistia. By the way, if you want to know where that is today, modern Philistia is the Gaza Strip in Israel. That's where the really, really heated battle is always there with terrorists. That's always trying to get into Israel. And if you want to know more about that, you can study. But Israel is well prepared for a battle against the Palestinians in that strip. Samson was bold yet again here in verse 1 because he went into the very heart of enemy territory. Samson had some gumption, y'all. He didn't allow the enemies to come to him. He went to the enemy. And he didn't even try to hide himself. He just walked openly among them. Kind of like, I dare you do something. We also see where Samson, sadly, committed the sin of fornication with a harlot in Gaza. It appears that Philistia didn't see a problem with prostitution. Sadly, many ancient civilizations thought it was just fine. God, however, is the one who matters. His not just opinion, but what he says goes, y'all. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what everyone else does. What God says, that's what matters. We see where God has a problem with the sin of fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 declares very clearly to us, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now there's other scriptures we can harmonize, but that's pretty plain and clear right there. But apparently that the Philistines or the Philistines didn't have a problem with it, and Samson was all just fell in right in with the rest of them. Just because everybody else does a sin doesn't mean you should do it either. In verse 2 and 3, it seems, however, Samson was in Gaza for a way to get at more of the Philistines. It didn't seem like he was trying to hide that he was there. Again, part of his pride, his arrogance, and his confidence was showing. So, because he wasn't trying to hide where he was or that he was there, word got out pretty quickly that night that Samson was in their city. So several of the Gazites surrounded the way to the main gate of the city so they could kill him, a type of ambush. They didn't surround the place where he was. They surrounded the only way in and out of the city, that main gate. It was like, he's got to get out of here in the morning. And when he does, we're going to kill him. They knew that he was number one for all of Philistia. Their plan was to wait all night and kill him in the morning. But Samson foiled their plans. Samson got up at midnight and took the whole gate of the city and put it on his shoulders. Now, he not only took the actual gate of the city, but he took the post on both sides that held the gate there, that where they attached the gate, And then he also took the bar that locked the gate. And so many of the cities in those days, there was a huge beam. It kind of resembles a railroad tie, but it had been a lot longer, and y'all, it had been a lot bigger and heavier than that too. It was designed to go across the one door or both doors, so that if the city were ever bombarded by an enemy, it would take them a great effort to get that door down. People weren't going to go walk into the city with that thing on there. That was really heavy. Now, I don't know the actual weight of all that stuff, but I guarantee you, a normal man, no matter if he's the strongest man in the world, could pick all that up. And no two men could pick all that up. It would take almost an army to pick all that stuff up. And Samson picked it up, all of it. It was really, really, really heavy, y'all. And he picked all of it up and he put it on his shoulders, just like he was carrying a kid on his shoulders. You know? Wow! That's amazing. I don't care if you like the dude or not. That's impressive. He then proceeded to walk almost to Hebron with this load. Now, Hebron from Gaza is about 36 miles. Now, I'm going to chase a little rabbit here this morning. Y'all bear with me. You might laugh at it. It's all right. I'm horrible at math. I am. But my wife, she's wonderful. Y'all, she has a master's degree in math education. That's impressive. So, I wanted to know how far it was from Gaza to Hebron. You go to a modern map, and if you use Google Maps, it's going to take you in a road route, which takes you all around the country. Well, that's not what Samson did back then. He would have taken a more direct route. And so I'm looking at the map, and it gives, I don't know if you've ever looked at maps or not, but sometimes they give you a little marker to let you know from this distance to this distance is so many miles. Well, I took out my little ruler, and I said, I can do this. Thought I could anyway. And I put it on that mark and said 5/8 equaled 5 miles. So then I measured from Gaza to Hebron. I come up with so many inches. And then I couldn't do the math. So I called my wife. I knew this was going to be some kind of algebra equation. I just knew it. So she said, yeah. And so she began to calculate. And she says, 36 miles. I said, thank you. Thank you. I'd have struggled all day to get that. Yeah. Now, y'all, can you imagine one day or one night, one man carrying the whole gate of a city on his shoulders, the post and the beam, and he walked about 36 miles? Wow. You tell me I got to walk 5 miles, I'm going, whoa. I'm not even carrying anything except my own weight. Yeah, 36 miles. So he didn't actually go into Hebron. He was just outside. So he would have walked at least 30 miles with this stuff. No matter which way you look at it, the way he carried it was like it was nothing. And that's pretty impressive. But y'all, I want you to understand something. The only reason he was able to do any of this was because of God. He was not able to do all on his own. No man in the world before or since could do what he was doing, but that's because God was with him. My next point this morning, Samson's strength tested. Verses 4 through 14. In verse 4, Samson continued to be with women from all the wrong places. After the event in Gaza, Samson began to love a woman named Delilah that lived in the valley of Sorek. By the way, the valley of Sorek was just outside of one of the Pentapolis cities of Philistia named Ekron. The word Sorek means the place of the fair vines, which means a great vineyard was there. Again, another place he shouldn't have been because of his Nazarite vow. Remember, one of those vows the Nazarites was, you couldn't eat or touch anything from the vine. No grapes at all. no grape juice, no wine, no raisins, no grapes, no oil, no seeds, nothing. Yet he was right there. Right there in the middle of all that. And then began to fall in love with another Philistine woman. By the way, his first wife, his late wife, remember she was killed, was also a Philistine woman that his parents really didn't want him to marry. Some people are a glutton for punishment, though. They really are. Remember, the problem wasn't that she, Delilah, or that his late wife weren't Israelites. The problem with them is that they did not follow God. And as a result, would influence him in all the wrong ways. That's what the problem was. And God commanded his people, look, you make sure that you marry people that believe me and follow me. Because if you don't, they're going to lead you down directions that are not of me. By the way, that's still good advice for all of God's people today. You marry someone, no matter if you're a man or a woman, you marry somebody that follows the Lord and is going to help you to be part of the Lord. And that's why God gave Adam an helpmeet, to help him. There's times where my wife encourages me and I encourage her. It takes both to do that. But if one of us didn't follow God and the other one did, that would be really hard in the marriage. I'm just being honest. And Samson's parents knew that because they believed in God. Well, he didn't listen to his parents. Here he is again doing this all over again. He didn't learn his lesson the first time. Verse 5, then the leaders of Philistia bribed Delilah to find out the source of Samson's strength. They knew that most women can get men to do whatever they want. Now, men, don't you lie and say that. That's not right. No. Yes, it is. And women, don't get too proud of yourself thinking, oh, yeah, I know, yeah. But yes, it is the truth. They knew that they get the woman he loves involved. They can get her to do whatever they want if the price was just right. Now, I want to tell you something. Things must have gotten really serious for Philistia if their actual leaders got involved themselves. You know, the first few times where Samson was getting rid of all the bad guys, all the Philistines in the area, okay, that's one thing. But now, they've taken it personally. He's taken down one of their main defenses of one of the capital cities, making everybody vulnerable in that area. And they themselves have taken it personally. We are going to get rid of Samson ourselves. By the way, the lords, the Philistines, they would have been like warlords. They would have been really, really, really bad guys. They'd have killed anybody just by thinking about it. In other words, if they said they don't like you, they'd tell their guys to kill you, and that was it, and they'd sleep fine that night. That's how evil these guys were. So, they come to Delilah and said, we want you to find out the source of his great strength that we may bind him and kill him. Excuse me, that we may bind him and afflict him. They didn't want to kill him. They wanted to make him suffer. See, there are things that's worse than death. And they wanted to make sure that he suffered greatly for the rest of his life. So they wanted to get rid of his strength. They wanted to imprison him as a slave and afflict him for the rest of his life. And if she were successful, they would give her 1,100 pieces of silver from each of them. Now, y'all, we don't know how many lords of the Philistines there were, but we know there were at least five because of the rulers of the Pentapolis, the five cities. That's at least 5,500 pieces of silver in her pocket. If you don't know how much that is, let's put it in today's market in the USA. That would be worth somewhere around $85,250. That's a lot of money. Again, there could have been more leaders, which would have meant more money. But what she would have received, she would have been set for life. She wouldn't have needed any kind of man to bring her in support. She'd got all the money she needed for the rest of her life. And apparently, she agreed to do this. You know, we never see where she loved him back. He was the only one loving her. Keep that in mind as we continue in the story. Verses 6 through 14, so for the next few days, she tried to find out the mystery and source of Samson's strength. Delilah was a little bold to Samson because she directly said to him in verse 6, "What is the source of your great strength, and how can you be bound to be afflicted?" Now, how in the world does she think she's going to get an answer with a question like that? Well, the only way I can figure it out is that she must have presented in a way that seemed to be enticing to Samson, because remember, that's what the Philistines asked her to do, entice him. So she did in a way that was very appeasing to Samson, in the way that she asked it. Well, Samson took this as a game and told her that if anyone were to use 7 bowstrings that had never been dried, he would lose his strength. Again, some kind of game doing. He thinks she's playing with him, so he's going to play back. This may sound odd, but it's just like the new ropes the Judites used on him in the last story. It would have been very hard for a normal man to break free from this. Samson indicated that he would be as anybody else if they did that with him, the 7 bowstrings. Well, the leaders of Philistia found out and brought Delilah the 7 green bowstrings for her to bind Samson, and she did. You think, well, how did she bind him? She enticed him, made it feel and sound like a game. So he thinks it's just a game, and he plays along with her. Then the leaders hide in Delilah's room, waiting for the opportunity to get Samson. But they wouldn't this time. Delilah bound Samson, told Samson that the Philistines were there and ready to kill him. Samson immediately breaks the bowstrings like a piece of thread from a yarn. That's what the Bible describes it. I don't know if you've ever studied it, but look a little bit if you have time on it. Google it. Everybody Googles anything nowadays. I think Ethan Smith even says, "Can I Google it this morning?" You know, everybody looks on stuff like that. Look at how the process of yarn is made. They take the wool of the sheep and they spin it out and weave it, and twirl it till it comes that yarn that we use, or the thread that we use. But the way they describe it, it's one little fiber of that yarn, that one little wool string. It's how it was on Samson's arms, like it was nothing. Well, Delilah got mad, told Samson that he mocked her, and he lied to her. And then she begged him to tell her how to bind him. Well, Samson still hadn't figured things out yet. He still thinks it's a game. She's playing with him, tells her to use new ropes. Now, we already know that won't work. Why won't it work? Because if you remember back when the Judites captured him, they used new ropes, and he didn't tell them what to do at all. They used new ropes, and when they got to the Philistines, he broke free from them like they were these burnt threads out of a fire. So we know that, but Delilah doesn't, and neither does their other leaders for some reason. Now, because they were in the room, the Philistines got her some new rope, and she bound him. Again, how'd she bind him? He thought it was a game. Same thing happened. Delilah says, "Samson, the Philistines are here. They're ready to kill you." He jumps up. Psh, them new ropes just snap off. Just like thread. Well, again, Delilah was mad. And she asked him the same question again. And this time, Samson told her to weave the 7 locks of his head. Now, remember, the Nazarite vow, you can't cut your hair. And Samson was a Nazarite from the womb, which means his hair had never been cut. Now, y'all, I have no idea how long his hair was, but it was long enough that he wore 7 locks. That's like 7 braids in his hair, for it wouldn't be as long. But it was still very visible, and you could see it. He's like, you take the 7 locks of my head, and you weave them together. And Delilah put his locks in a weaving loom, fastened them together with a weaving pin, and she did as before. She said, Samson, the Philistines are here to get you. Well, Samson woke up and left with the strength intact, and with that weave, that weaving loom in his hair. He must have looked really funny going down the street, so I could say. You know, probably it's that new fashion trend there. Who knows? A big old thing on top of his head, walking around. You know, sidetrack, I know. Another chasing a rabbit here. I kind of get my picture in my twisted mind. You ever see some of these models on the runway with these crazy things coming out of their heads? You know, and they're like, just perfect pose, like it's the best thing in the world. I can just kind of see Samson doing that with that big thing sticking out of his head. My last point this morning, Samson's strength removed, verses 15 to 21. Then Delilah really, really, really egged it on for Samson in verses 15 and 16. She threw out the whole, well, if you really loved me, Samson. She threw out that scenario. You know, this happened before it was Samson's late wife. She did the same thing, almost the exact same thing when they were trying to figure out Samson's riddle. The Philistines came to her and said, we're going to kill you and your father if you don't find out the riddle. And so she begged him, please tell me the answer to the riddle. Please, please, please. If you really love me. Now Delilah's had enough and said, you say you love me, but if you really love me, you tell me what the real source of your strength is, Samson. And she pestered him for days, the Bible says. It was so bad that he wanted to die just to get a break from her nagging. I only heard men laughing there. Listen. Samson was sick and tired of hearing her beg and beg and beg for to find out the source of his strength. It wasn't a game anymore. But he loved her. He loved her so much. So in verse 17, Samson finally gave it and told her that if his hair was removed, he would lose his strength. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. Actually, his hair was just a symbol of his strength. His actual strength came from the Lord. A lot of people will say, well, then if you cut off Samson's hair, he'd lose his strength. No, it was a symbol of his strength. God was the source of his strength. And by the way, you and I cannot remove the Lord from anybody. Verse 18, Delilah saw how genuine he was at this point. And then she told the leaders, and they paid her. My goodness, what a caring woman that she was. You see, sadly, Samson and Delilah is not the only people like this in the world. It's been happening before, during, and since the days of Samson and Delilah. There are couples where the man and the woman will really love the other person, but the love is not reciprocated. Oh, it seems to be that way, but really and truly it's not. Samson genuinely loved this woman, but she didn't love him the way he loved her. And so she saw a way to gain profit from this adventure. And she knew she didn't need him. Because she didn't need a man to give her wealth. She was going to get it right here from all these leaders. So she saw how he bore his heart to her. And then she told the leaders, and they paid her. She betrayed Samson with his life. Be careful, young men and ladies, to not fall into love with someone who is harmful to you. Your love for someone needs to be reciprocated in like manner. They need to treat you like you need to be treated. Samson loved Delilah, but she did not love him the same way that he loved her. In verse 19 and 20, Samson fell asleep on her lap. She cut his hair and woke him up as before, but now the Philistines were able to capture him. Samson thought he would leave like the other times before, but he didn't know at this point that the Lord had taken away his strength. Now, I also want you to understand this too. God didn't take away Samson's strength because his hair was removed. God took it away because Samson had taken away the symbol of God's relationship with him. When we begin to take away our defining markers of being a child of God, people will not see us as his children. What do you mean? That means that if you proclaim to be a child of God, you need to act like it and not be ashamed of it. But when you begin to be ashamed of it, how does that make God feel? Makes you think. Should make you do more than think. Should make you act on it and do right. In verse 21, Samson suffered horribly for his poor decision. The Philistines bore out his eyes and made him a slave. I know that sounds gruesome. They didn't cut his eyes out. They put screws in his eyes and bore them out. That's a very painful way to suffer, to lose your sight for the rest of your life. And to make it all worse, he became a slave. They put him in brass chains and made him push on a grinding stone that grind the mill in the prison for the rest of his days. Child of God, don't get so arrogant that you think you are impervious to the sins of the world. That was probably Samson's greatest downfall. A lot of people want to pick on Samson for his downfall and his bad choice of women, but really his downfall was his pride and his arrogance. Well, I'm so mighty, I'm so tough, ain't nobody going to be able to defeat me, so I can just do whatever I want. I'm God's child. I'm a Nazarite. I was born a Nazarite and I'll die a Nazarite. I've got the strength of God with me. I can do whatever I want. That was his attitude. It showed. We can get to that point if we're not careful. Though we may not have the great strength of Samson, we can get that pharisaical attitude of, well, I'm a child of God. I can do whatever I want. No, you cannot. I'm going to tell you a little personal thing about me that I really never told anybody. When I was working in college, I had my first truck. I loved that truck. I still love that truck. And I say love, I mean I really cherish it. Does that make sense? It was a green Chevrolet Z71, single cab truck. That was my very first vehicle and only vehicle I brought brand new off the lot. Probably never met with that again in my life, but you know. That's the pride in that thing. Well, I was working for Sears at the time, and they mailed in some flyers for us to pass out in the community, and I told my boss, can I just go pass those around out in the community? Put them on the, I was going to say, but you probably didn't like, put them on people's windshield, the parking lots? Yeah, go ahead. So I did, and I was listening to Christian music, and I had the cocky attitude, would, you know what, ain't nothing going to hurt me or go on me against me because I'm listening to Christian music right now and I'm a child of God, and I was just going down the road and all of a sudden, boom, I rear-ended somebody. You say, well, that happened because you weren't paying attention. Yes, you're right, I wasn't. But I was because I'd gotten too prideful. I'd gotten too cocky. And just all of a sudden, God reminded me, boom! You need to be a little more humble, Daniel. Oh, and that wasn't the end of the story. The police showed up, and guess who got a ticket? Me. And guess whose insurance had to pay for it? Mine. And that was a rental car that I hit. Oh, yeah. But God took care of that. I had to pay the price. Here's the thing, y'all. Pride and arrogance. You can be prideful about being a child of God, but it doesn't turn into arrogance where you think that you're impervious to sin and that you're just, you know, impervious to anything. You need God, and you need to be humble with God, and you need to act accordingly in your life. And there's another big thing I've already mentioned that we can get out of this today is that if you are not married yet but are dating someone or could be dating someone in the future, all of you young people, if you're not dating someone, you will in the future. Make sure that when you date someone, that you're dating for the right reasons. Okay? And you need to have the qualities of that person to look at before you get there. Take the example from Samson and Delilah. You know, if you're a child of God, look for another child of God who acts like it and will treat you right. And if you can't see yourself marrying that person, there's no point in dating them. That always stuck in my mind. My daddy taught me that. He said, son, if you can't see yourself marrying a girl, don't even date her. Now, I missed a lot of stuff my daddy taught me, but I remembered that so much. You know, as a teenager, it was very, oh, yeah, that girl looks really good, but, you know, I don't think my mom would approve of her. You know? And then I'd go get to talking to her, and I'm like, you don't really fear God like you should. You know, it's one of those things. And some people, I don't really care. You're setting yourself up for disaster, just like Samson and a few others that we could name. When you marry somebody, yes, there should be love involved, but this should be going both ways. They should love you the way you love them, in a godly love. See, just a physical love only goes so far. But godly love goes deeper and can last you the rest of your lives. If you allow God to be the center of your relationship, the focus and the head, to lead you in the relationship, you'll start off being married that way, and you'll be that way until death do you part. I always love to talk to some of these older couples, married 50 plus years. How you been married so long? Well, you know, we both were real lonely, and we just kind of stuck it through the years. But you know, the most common thing I hear, it was because of God. It was because of God. Because God loved us and showed us how to love and led us in that relationship. And that's what I want between me and my wife. And that should be what you want as well. And child of God, don't forget that just because other people do sins around you and they become very popular doesn't mean that you should. You stand your ground and you do what's right no matter what. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your message.